The Lord has been speaking to me for the last probably 4 days regarding what is happening in church right now. Even the songs that are to be sung, that were sung, the oceans, and how the person that is singing the words to that song is crying out to God, I want to follow you, Lord. I want to follow you, but I'm kind of afraid. I'm kind of afraid of where that's going to take me. And I don't know if you've ever been to, maybe years ago or maybe recently, maybe you've been to a school dance. And what doesn't that seem like an odd thing to bring up in church? A school dance. Well, and instead of dancing, you stood against the wall, afraid to get involved. And you went home disappointed in yourself, disappointed in the whole event. Maybe you've been to, on vacation, you went to the ocean. And the waves are crashing upon the sand and the sun is shining and it's just beautiful. It's just gorgeous. And you watch as the beautiful waves come in. But you're afraid to enter in because of what might be out there. Maybe the strength of the water, maybe something that you can't see under the water. How about that? Okay. And so the whole vacation goes by, and you've barely put your feet in the water. And you go home on that vacation disappointed because your feet were only ankle deep in that water. And as I was praying about what God would have me speak about today, you know, it was actually before I was even praying about that, actually. And the Lord was showing me a picture of a person that was standing on a ledge. A person that was right on the ledge, and their toes were actually hanging over this ledge. And they just, in a good way, they wanted to jump, you know, not to their death or anything like that, but they wanted to fly. They wanted to be free. And they wanted to be all in. And I feel like that's where many of us are. That our feet, we're right on the edge. And our toes are over the edge, but we're still holding on to that. But we were meant to fly. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our spirits were meant to soar. And I think about how eagles train their chicks to fly. They often will use ingredients, if you will, to make their nests in a manner that the first parts that they're using are rough. They're very rough and rigid, if not thorny. And then they will take, and they'll coat the inside of these nests with something that's soft, feathers or leaves or something like that, to cover over those things. And as those young begin to get older and older, they begin to take those things, the soft things, and they throw them out of the nest. And so the nest becomes more and more uncomfortable. And it kind of hurts them a little bit. And they begin to get up on the edges of the nest where it's a little bit uncomfortable as well. Sometimes they're on a cliff and there's hardly any room. And as the chicks get older, they're taking up more space in this nest. And so there's really nowhere for them to go. So from start to finish, there's a plan to get them out of the nest and to do what they were born to do. They're born to fly. They're born to soar in a majestic way that no other bird flies. They're a powerful bird. They're beautiful. And the sun, when they're in the sky, the sun shines off of that white head of theirs. And you can see it from a long ways away. And yet, the young would like to stay and remain in the comfort of that nest where it's safe. But that's not where they were meant to be. And I've heard stories of people that have studied these eagles. And when an eagle gets to a point in its life to where it goes through its molting stage. So they're in a state where they're coming from a teenager, if you will, and they become an adult, a mature adult, and they don't get that white until they are mature for a bald eagle. And so that takes a few years. And until then, they remain brown. And when they go through this molting stage, they walk along the ground because their feathers are falling out. And they're a sight to see. They're ugly. And they look like they're at death's door. And really, they are. And they're walking around on the ground where they do not belong. And the other eagles that are mature, they begin to call from the sky, thousands of feet above. And they're soaring around and they're looking down on these eagles. They know where those eagles that are on the ground belong. And so they begin to call to them, come on, get up. And they will even, these eagles that are on the ground, just begin to lay themselves against rocks. And they don't even lift up their heads. They're just walking around like somebody that's depressed. And really, they are. They're depressed. They're down. They're not able to do what they've been born and created to do. To soar. Friends, are you soaring? Are you riding the wind? The Holy Spirit wind. That God has created you to do? Or are you walking around on the ground with your face to the ground? Or are you stuck in the nest, afraid to take that step? As these eagles that are going through that molting process, they hear the calls of their family members and the other eagles, and those eagles will take pieces of meat and they'll drop them from the sky onto the ground so that the eagles can eat, because you know the eagles hunt, right? And so these eagles that are molting can't even hunt, so they can't eat. They are completely at the mercy of the other eagles. They are completely dependent upon the other eagles. And as those eagles begin to drop bits of meat, they go over and they take in that nourishment. And they begin to regain their strength. And those eagles all the while are calling from the sky, come on, get up! That's not where you were meant to be. Don't you stay there. Come on! You can do this. Take that. And pretty soon that eagle begins to regain its energy and its strength, and it begins to move faster and begins to spread out its wings. And it'll take a few short hops, and that's all it can do. And then it takes some more meat and some more nourishment and some more rest. And it gets back up again to the calls of the other eagles. Come on! Come on! You can do it! Come on! Don't stay there! And that eagle takes more meat, takes more nourishment, and takes a few more steps. And he bounces and he runs and he catches the wind under those wings. And up he goes. And pretty soon, he's soaring with those other eagles. And he's doing what he was created to do. Friends, you have been standing on the ledge far too long. God is beckoning you. Come to me. Take that step. You don't need to worry about what's beyond there. Just trust me and take that step. When those eaglets take those steps, and it's just one, their mothers will push them to the edge of those nests. And though they fight to get back to the safety of the rest of the nest, the mothers will not allow them to stay there. And so they continually push them out to the edge of the nest where it's dangerous. Well, wait a minute. God wants us to be where it's dangerous? No. God wants you to do what you were meant to do. Amen. And unless you take that dangerous step, that fearful first step, you'll never begin to do what you were created to do. And that step has everything to do with trust. Amen. Has everything to do with trust. And so those eaglets are pushed to the edge and they begin to cry out. They're scared to death. They've never flown before. And in their minds, they're wondering, why are you pushing me to where it is unsafe, Mom? God, why are you putting me in a place where it's uncomfortable? You know, sometimes God does that. Let's fix that a little bit. A lot of times, God does that. Why does God do that? Why does God allow things into our lives that are difficult? Why does God allow things into our lives that hurt us, that cause us pain? Because he's looking for a greater purpose. God is looking for something to pull out of you that would never have come to light had it not been for pain and discomfort. God uses pain and discomfort more than anything else. Because when we're comfortable and we're at peace and there's lots of joy and we just content to stay there in our easy chair and we don't want to move nowhere. We're just content to have other people wait on us. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to take that step of faith. Friends, you have been at the edge, and God has been beckoning to you, my son. Come on. Come on. It's time. Maybe when you were a child, you were on the edge of the pool. And you'd always been in mommy and daddy's arms in the pool. And they've always carried you around. Or if they weren't carrying you, then you were in some sort of flotation thing, you know, and you had the safety of those things. But then comes the time when mom and dad are saying, okay, that's enough now. You need to learn how to swim, because if you don't, you could what? You could drown. Some of you have fallen in water, unable to swim. That is a scary feeling. That is a scary feeling. I remember a few times my daughter Alex was on the edge of the pool and she took a step and she slipped and she went in the water. She was just a little tight. And she flipped over so her face is looking up through the water. and her eyes caught mine. And her eyes were just like this, just wide open. And I reached down there and I grabbed a hold of whatever I could. And I just yanked her right out of the water. If you don't know how to swim and you're in the water, it's a scary place to be. But God is there to grab a hold of you and to pull you out of that water. But you got to trust him. And so he beckons us to come further, to come closer, to take the step off of the edge so that we may do what we were created to do. There was a word this morning that said, what is holding you back? What has a hold on you? What is the thing that is keeping you from completely and fully surrendering to God? What is the thing that is holding you back from complete and utter surrender in worship? Because I'm telling you, if you don't take those steps, you will remain in a state of infancy for the rest of your spiritual life, never producing fruit and never being fulfilled. And that is a disappointing place to be, friends. God doesn't want that for you. Well, I'm afraid of what I'm going to look like if I do that. Trust me. Trust me. Well, I'm afraid of where God's going to take me. Trust me, God says. I'm afraid about what my friends and family are going to think of me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. You see, when our eyes are on our friends, when our eyes are on the circumstances around us, when our eyes are on other things other than God, all these things seem like massive mountains, don't they? But when we look into the face of God and we trust him and we say, okay, God, here am I. Send me. In the Bible, there's a scripture that says, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And the response is, here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Yeah, but that may take me to Guatemala. That may take me to Africa. That may take me to Bible school. Trust me. That may cause me to need to quit my job. Ooh, trust me. That may take me to a place where I am serving in ministry and I'll be busier than I want to be. I think of Peter and how him and the disciples were in the boat and they're crossing to the other side to meet Jesus because he had told them, go ahead, I'll catch up with you. And so while they're on their way in this boat, a storm whips up. And I was there in a boat at the very spot where this happened in Israel 2 years ago. The very spot. And I went to the place where they were heading. And so the storm whips up and they're scared to death. They're thinking, we're going to die. We're not going to see Jesus or our families ever again. And then they see this figure coming to them on the water. And they say to them, to each other, it's a ghost. These are grown men in a boat out in the middle of a lake. It's a ghost. They're afraid. And Jesus calls to them. He says, brothers, come on. It's me. Don't worry. And he's still a ways off to where they can't see. They just see this figure coming to them, and it's glowing in the midst of this darkness and this storm on top of the water. And this Peter guy, he says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you on the water. You see what he said? Tell me to come to you on the water. It's like he was asking for permission. Can I do what you're doing? Can I do that? Can I try that, Lord? And what does Jesus say? Come. Peter gets out of the boat. It's still storming now, and it's still dark. Peter gets out of the boat, and he's walking on the water towards Jesus. And then a wave crashes over. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And he sinks down into the water. And the water is consuming him. And he reaches out to Jesus, Lord, save me! And Jesus reaches down. In the same vicinity as Peter, Jesus is on the water. He reaches down to Peter, who's in the water, up to his face. And he takes him and he says, Peter, you have little faith. You have little faith. Just as a parent would do to a toddler that is beginning to walk and takes a few steps and then falls and they cry. And the parent picks them up and said, oh, no, you did a good job. You're okay. You're going to do fine. Peter was experiencing that from his Lord and Savior. Peter, you did good. You got to have more faith, but you'll get it. You'll get it. God is beckoning us, friends. Come to me. Step out of the safety of the boat, because that's not where home is. That's not where home is for the life of a believer. The life of a believer is out on the end of the branch where the branches are bending down and you're worried that they're going to break. That is where fulfillment and fruit is. The fruit, friends, is on the end of the branches hanging down. God desires that we bear fruit. But we've got to step out of that boat. We've got to release our toe grip from the edge of the cliff and jump to where we're able to soar. And, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how old you are. Because you can remain as an old person and yet still young in your faith. All the while rejecting God's beckonings and his gentle calls to come closer. Come closer. Draw near to God, the Bible says, and he will draw near to you. Is that you today? Is that you? Are you stuck in a place? Is something holding you back? Have you been withholding something from God that has got a hold on you and is preventing you from moving forward? It is preventing you from growing. It is preventing you from becoming fruitful in the kingdom of God. Because I'll tell you what. It's an adventure. The Christian life is an adventure. Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote a song called The Great Adventure. If you haven't heard that song, you need to. The Great Adventure. And that's what the life of a believer is. We go from one thing to the next, experiencing God all the way as God displays himself in our lives through our troubles, through our victories, through every corner and every trial and victory in our lives, God shows himself faithful. God wants to do that in you. And he's waiting for you to give him permission to do so. God, I submit myself to you. I'm trusting you with this. I'm not sure where that's going to take me. I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but I'm leaving that to you. Do you know that it's not God's will that we know all this stuff? He doesn't want us to know. Because if we know, then there's no trust factor. But if we take the step not knowing where we're going, but trusting God to lead us where he wants us to be, then God will take us and place us where he wants us to be, in a place where we will produce fruit for the kingdom of God. God has destined each and every one of you for a purpose. You have a purpose in your life. And if you don't know what that purpose is, what happens is we wander around aimlessly just trying to survive. The purpose of a believer is essential. When we have a purpose, we have something to live for. We can find fulfillment in that. And we can produce fruit for our Lord and our King. Would you stand with me today? I have to say that I am looking very forward to sharing with you about the trip to Guatemala. But God had something different that he wants to accomplish today in you. I'm hoping that next week we can do a bit of a presentation and show you some of the amazing things, truly miraculous things that God is doing. I'm glad to be home, but I'm glad I had the opportunity to go. I'm glad that God helped me to take that step. To take that step of faith and to trust in him. God's doing some work in your heart today. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. If that is you, and you have been standing on the edge, reluctant to take the next step because you don't know where that's going to take you, God is calling you today. God is calling you today. So we're going to sing a song. And as we do, respond as a child of God. Respond to God's leading. Respond to his beckoning you to come to him. There is so much more waiting for you. There is so much more waiting than what you have yet experienced. You've only scratched the surface. As we sing, muster your strength, suck it up, and get up here. And let God work in your heart.